I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, you have promised to be where we are. You are close at hand. May we sense that now as we listen for you in the midst of my words. Open our hearts and our minds, our eyes and our ears, that we might hear and understand and have the courage to act. Amen. Hardly a day goes by when I do not hear someone voicing frustration because their memory is not what it once was. Names, dates, appointments elude them. Car keys, glasses, and coffee cups cannot be found. And let me assure you that not everyone I hear lamenting about this qualifies as old. People half my age often struggle to remember, and I'm pretty convinced it's because their minds and lives are filled with so many things. I have a theory. No empirical evidence to support it, but what I observe is that, as a rule, our minds and lives are so cluttered with so many things that we have difficulty remembering. Our minds and lives are cluttered with things that need to be left behind and forgotten. Because you see, knowing what is worth remembering and knowing what is not worth remembering is vitally important if we're going to live our lives fully and faithfully. At the risk of oversimplifying, Scripture seems to spell it out rather clearly. What we need to forget is our sins and the sins of others. What we need to remember is God's Word. How do we go about doing that? What does that look like? Well, look with me as we turn first to our lesson this morning from the book of Jeremiah. A short passage of prose surrounded by three stanzas of poetry. In these few verses from Jeremiah chapter 31, we find a down-to-earth, matter-of-fact promise made to the people of Israel, who had been in exile not for years but for generations, and needed desperately to learn how to hope again. Unfortunately, some read this passage of Scripture about a new covenant that God is going to create and assume that it cancels the old covenant, but that's not the case. Instead, this tells us of a new covenant, a future day, when the teaching of God's law will no longer be necessary, because God's law, what matters most, will be inscribed on the heart of the people. Now keep in mind, the people back in Jeremiah's day were not looking for a new covenant. They were not eager to invite God into their heart, and most of them, I suspect, were not anticipating that God would be knocking at their heart's door. We also get the sense that the God of Jeremiah had grown weary of the people not being able to keep the law, the commandments. The covenant that had been written in stone clearly was one that could be broken. So how does God choose to remedy the situation? God decides no more writing on tablets of stone. From now on, I will write on the heart of the people. It's important to note that while our translation in English indicates that God is writing on the people's hearts, in the original Hebrew, it is God writing on the heart of the people, the collective heart of the entire people. Imagine it as being a bit like God tattooing us, branding us, marking us with a very particular identity. Now, if you know anything about tattoos, you know that they are more or less permanent. A bit of pain is required in getting a tattoo, but even more pain is required if you want to make one go away. That's what makes them indelible. Tattoos involve pain, involve indelibility, and also say something about the person sporting the tattoo or the body art. The same is true of God writing on our hearts. Pain may be involved. It identifies us, and it is indelible. God's hold on us cannot be erased without cutting out a part of ourselves. It's a bit like God invading our hearts, taking hold of us as a people. You may have noted that as the scripture passage was read, God described what had happened in the past, taking the people by the hand and leading them out of captivity, almost as though they were reluctant to follow, reluctant to participate. And I love the shift now in the image. No longer is God taking us by the hand. God is taking us by the heart. And this new covenant that God has in mind will not dictate or restrain behavior. It will instead transform lives. The Lord says, "They shall all know me when that time comes." This knowing is not just about having an awareness of certain facts or lists of rules. It's more than an intellectual exercise. In the words of Cheryl Limsey, to know God is to receive God's heart and to give God yours. Let me say that again. To know God is to receive God's heart and to give God yours. This little section of prose then ends with God saying, "I will remember their sins no more." A huge statement. When we keep in mind that it was Israel's sins that had brought about the collapse of the nation. But now that they have returned from exile, God is making them a promise about a new covenant that will one day surely come, when no longer will things be written on tablets of stone, but on human hearts, and when sins will be forgotten, left behind, which is certainly reason to hope. Now, I must confess, I couldn't help but think as I imagined God's covenant written on the heart of not just individuals, but the people, I found myself wondering, what is written on the heart of St. John's? Our collective heart as a people. What is our identity? What is our brand? What do people out there see when they see not just us as individuals, but us together as a community of faith? I pray that they see grace. I pray that they see a circle drawn wide. I pray that they see love. And I pray that they see within us a passion for justice and truth. I also have to confess that over the course of the past several months, as I have looked at very familiar passages of Scripture that I have preached on numerous times before, I'm seeing them differently. I'm seeing them through pandemic eyes. It changes the way we view all sorts of things in life, and this particular scripture passage was not an exception. So here's how my thought process began to unfold. In pandemic terms, scientists and physicians talk about reaching the goal of herd immunity. A high enough percentage of people vaccinated to make it safe for us to resume many of the activities we found meaningful before the pandemic began. So if we think in terms of that communal herd immunity, now we shift to God's law. If it is written on the heart of the people, not just a small percentage of the people, but all or most of the people, then things will change in a way that makes a huge difference. If enough people embrace and live by God's life-giving rules, it changes everything for all with whom they come in contact. Behavior becomes contagious in a good way. A culture of compassion emerges. A leaning toward justice prevails. Grace and mercy, held in tension with accountability, hold sway. Now, we are not there yet, in case you hadn't noticed. The prophet says that surely the day is coming. It has not yet occurred, but it will. And we, as beloved children of God, we as followers of Christ, can help pave the way for that gift to unfold and for that promise to become a reality. We do that by the way we live. And the psalmist in our psalm today from 119 gives us some clues about how to do that. The psalmist urges us to seek the Lord with our whole heart. In other words, don't just bank on accidentally bumping into God in your daily activities. Look for God. Intentionally search for God in likely and unlikely places and people. The psalmist goes on to urge us to treasure God's word, savor it, give it more than just a passing glance. Meditate on God's precepts. Mold them over in your mind, chew on them, carry them with you wherever you go. Delight in God's teachings, and then finally he says to us, do not forget God's word. Sins, yes, they get forgotten. They get left behind. But God's word, don't ever forget that. My observation is that it is far easier to remember God's word if we have allowed ourselves to forget, to let go of our own sins and the sins of others. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't claim accountability for what we've done. Not that at all. But oftentimes, holding on to our sins or what others have done becomes so consuming that we can't live. Not in a way that is healthy or helpful or faithful. Forgetting sins as God does frees up space to remember what matters, to remember what will enable us to live life fully, richly. With my whole being, I believe we pave the way for the world God envisioned by allowing God to tattoo our hearts individually and collectively with the indelible truths, you are loved, you are forgiven, you are saved. Let us proudly claim our identity as one who has been branded, tattooed by God. Let us proudly claim the gift whose high price has been paid by the one who gave his life for us, and the very one who journeys with us, a constant reminder of what is worth remembering. Amen.